This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Speaking of retail, there has been some big news, particularly in the US retail industry recently. Forever 21 has filed for bankruptcy, and the company is planning to exit most of its international locations in Asia as well as Europe.
Yeah, so this fashion retailer, which was popular especially in the early 2000s, has over about 800 outlets. It might now close up to about just 350 stores worldwide. And they're deciding which locations they will be in exactly.
So it doesn't look like it was really that forever after all, right?
Yeah, well done.
But I mean, we're not really surprised by this news because the traditional retail industry has seen a lot of turbulence since the onslaught of e-commerce. And of course, consumers themselves are becoming more demanding about fashions and its sustainability and questions over the necessity over fast fashion.
So for more on the health of the fashion retail industry, here is Charles Allen, Global Retail Research Analyst with Bloomberg Intelligence in London. Thank you for joining us, Charles. Now, Forever 21 is not the only fast fashion retailer facing trouble. So paint us a picture of the main issues plaguing this industry. How have competitors like H&M, Zara and Uniqlo, for example, fared in comparison?
Yeah, thanks for the question. I think there's a whole range of issues that fashion retailers are facing. And I mean, these include obviously the growth of online retail, which not all the traditional store-based retailers have been able to address immediately. I mean, the growth of people like ASOS, Zalando, Boohoo even, have taken sales away from existing retailers, which they haven't necessarily been able to replace. A second point is that obviously a very broad store-based network, as Forever 21 had, isn't necessarily the most relevant thing to have at the moment. And we've seen a lot of retailers looking to close space, and this includes names as Topshop. But even the best retailers like H&M and Inditex are consolidating stores to make sure that the total number they operate is smaller than it used to be. And again, this reflects the importance of trying to make sure that your sales per store remain high and that you exit these stores that are no longer generating sufficient sales.
But what would you say that physical stores, would you say that physical stores are still important?
I think the physical stores remain important. However, there's a sort of conundrum here for many retailers is that the physical stores that there are have to be really well appointed and essentially flagship stores. I mean, consumers need something to tempt them out of their houses and away from their phones and computers where they're shopping online. And just a regular old-fashioned store isn't probably enough. So we see retailers like Inditex and H&M and others building really dramatic stores that make them worth visiting and also that have a well integrated with the online offer so that they will have pickup points and make it easy for people to return goods in those stores as well.
E-commerce is a big part of retail today, but is it smooth sailing for the likes of ASOS and Boohoo? What are the challenges that these online sellers also face?
Well, it hasn't been, and ASOS in particular has had a troubled time recently. I mean, again, contrary to historic expectations, online retail has not been capital light. It involves increasingly automated warehouses, which are pretty expensive to build. And ASOS, in its last financial year, had 10% of its sales as capital spending. And where this has sort of come in is they had big automation projects for two of their warehouses, which didn't go as smoothly as they should have done, so that they had showed up as a lot of stock not being available to consumers, even though it was in the warehouse. And if we look at it over a longer period, I mean, ASOS also in the international expansion had essentially closed its website in China, not completely withdraw from the country, but certainly downsize its presence. We've seen other online retailers, I mean, particularly Zalando, have to do a pivot in their strategy from just being a pure retailer to looking to move into being a marketplace, which, although there's some early promising signs, has again reduced profitability and changed the way the business is going to be run.
So how much do changing consumer trends, particularly those relating to sustainability, come into play here?
Yeah, I mean, sustainability is it's one of those things where the consumers, as so often, don't really want to blame themselves for what is happening, i.e. if you buy loads and loads of clothes on a regular basis and don't wear them more than once or twice, then what you might say is unsustainable behavior. However, they don't want to be the people seen to be doing something about it. So they want to see retailers doing something. And this involves things like the H&M collections that are made from recycled materials. That H&M isn't the only person doing that. H&M's move into more organic cotton and so on. And this idea that cotton, you know, is a finite resource and is very water intensive is something that resonates around the world. And I think that, you know, even the most we might say fast fashion retailers like Boohoo in the UK have now appointed sustainability directors. And it's something we've seen for Primark. I mean, one of the reasons that Primark, which has been a success almost everywhere else, isn't doing quite so well in Germany at the moment is people are concerned about how sustainable it is.
But how about the case of large international retailers who are doing really well today? You know, what are they doing right? For example, what does it take to maybe succeed as a large fashion retailer in this day and age?
The top thing, as always, has been to make sure you have the right fashion and that you have it in the right places, in the right quantities. And in that sense, I mean, Inditex with its Zara brand remains a sort of benchmark for the whole industry. Its ability, you know, to put often small numbers of an item into a large number of shops and then to repeat either exactly the same garment as we saw over the summer with the polka dot dress or with broadly similar items that consumers still want is something that needs to be done. And I think that one way or another, we've seen most retailers coalesce around a similar strategy. It's not only that, it's obviously you also need to have an e-commerce presence, which almost all of the larger retailers now do. You have to have a social media presence. Again, is that influencers are very important in what people buy. You have to have a store estate, assuming you're not online only, but you have to have a store estate that has dramatic and striking stores. I mean, it's complicated, and there is one reason why almost all the larger retailers in fashion at one stage or another have had some sort of misstep and have had to either retrench or relaunch.
Thank you very much, Charles. And that was Charles Allen of Bloomberg Intelligence in London. And it's interesting he brought up Zara because, you know, Zara is one of those names that you've really, particularly over the last 5 years or so, you see it everywhere. Mm. And it has really succeeded in a lot of the times, if you look at, he gave the example of the polka dot dress, really bringing some of the same fashions back over and over again, but succeeding in selling it anew to a new season and a new market.
They're very clever because whatever you see in the runways, they can literally bring it to the store, of course, at a much, much, much lower price point mm-hmm. within 2 months. And the main thing with them is that they really have inventory management, right? Because the last thing you're going to be caught out as a retailer is making the wrong dress, making too much of it, and then you have to write it down because after a while, fashion is fickle. So if you don't sell it quickly within 3 months, it's old news. Nobody will buy it and you have to write it off. So it's a combination of so many things. It's a combination of inventory management. It's a combination of having the right e-commerce strategy and also choosing your physical store so that people go in and they're like, wow, it has that amazing factor.
Right?
Yeah, because he says you need to distract people from their phones, from looking online. You need to have this amazing shop because it's no longer just an empty space filled with just products, right? You've got to create this want and feel that people
crave that experience. And that is something that we've seen a lot of the technology brands do actually. Like, so Apple, for example, their flagship stores are you know, an entity on their own.
Microsoft, it's like to worship the brand, right? You go almost, pay homage to Apple. It's true. You go in there, it has that look and feel, right? Everything's white and you feel you need to touch the product. It's all very clever branding when you think about it.
Yeah, absolutely. But I'm just thinking, like, how many retailers can actually afford to do this? I'm thinking when you described it, there must be some form of technology being in place here, some form of big data trying to collect and collate.
A little bit of that.
Make sense of the inventory and so forth, right? Eventually, all this requires a lot of investment, a lot of capex. Whether or not there are a lot of retailers who can actually do this, eventually this is going to be a small number of them at the end.
Yeah, perhaps we'll see more consolidation, and we'll definitely be seeing, I think, a lot of changes in the retail industry as companies attempt to avoid being yet another victim of the retail apocalypse. Right now, though, we are heading into a few messages, and then we'll be back with some local stories for you. So be sure to stay tuned here on The Morning Run at BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.